Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the game. I'm Russ Cohen. We got Nico Riesgo. Nico, how are you? We must be having some audio problems. I cannot hear Nico. Nico, if you could hear me, I think you're going to have to call me back. Because let's try you again. Nico, can you hear me? No. Anyhow, while we're waiting for Nico to call back in, let's talk about the Mets-Phillies game yesterday. We saw Noah Syndergaard pregame steal the Philly Fanatic ATV, and that was fun. He basically, the Fanatic was mimicking Curtis Granderson's warm-ups, and when he was doing that, Syndergaard went around the other end and stole the ATV. It was pretty comical, and it was a good way to sort of start off the game. All right, Nico, are you there?
Yeah, the Fanatic is crazy. I love the Fanatic that I played my days with the Phillies.
Yeah, Syndergaard stealing his ATV was good, though. That was a fun moment. I caught a little bit of it on video. I actually had the whole video, but for some reason, because of the lights, my video got blurred, and so I was only able to show him getting off of it and running away. But it was really funny. And later, Syndergaard tweeted and said, "Hey, you mess with Curtis Granderson, you're messing with us." And he's a fun guy. Like, he is just a fun guy. But that game was an interesting game because Jacob DeGrom went against Jared Eichhoff, a great pitching matchup, and it really was. It was for 6.5 innings, really, really a good pitching matchup. Jay Bruce eventually hit his second homer and put the Mets ahead. DeGrom actually walked in a run, which doesn't normally happen, but he did bear down. I think he only gave up 6 hits. So this is why the Mets are dangerous, because even when the team is not hitting, as long as they can have one or two of their power bats carry them through, they're going to get the pitching to keep them in it.
Yeah, I mean, 4 hits, they've got to get more than just 4 hits. I mean, it's got to catch up with them. It's a long season. They cannot continue to do this, but it's working now. And like I said, the Phillies are surprised, you know. The Phillies have they put together a pretty good team. They're going to make a run this year for it.
Not this year. I think this year they're only going to get about 75, 80 wins max. But they're getting better, and that is definitely the point, is they're no longer a complete pushover. They're definitely getting better. The Mets' big problem is that Jose Reyes is hitting 40. He has one hit. You can't be a leadoff hitter and have that happen. And so really, to preempt an article that I intend on writing, I think the Mets should bring up the best shortstop prospect in baseball right now, and that's Ahmed Rosario. I mean, let Reyes drop on the lineup or hit him second. Bring up Rosario. The kid looks like Jose Reyes back when he was a rookie. This is what the Mets need. Like, they need a jolt because nobody's hitting. Like, nobody.
They need speed, too. I don't think Reyes has stolen a base or anything. You see him on base, he's got the same speed burner as he used to be. And maybe his time is up. You know, you've seen what the Yankees have done with their older guys. It's kind of put them out in the pasture. It's kind of maybe time for Reyes, I think, if he does not produce right away, because they definitely need him.
Well, I'm not saying put him out the pasture. He's playing a good third base. I'm saying just, you know, knock him down in the lineup and bring the kid up. I mean, Rosario, let's see, what did he do opening day? I have an article here. He went 2-for-4 in his first game in AAA. Like, you know, I don't think the Mets are going to need to see him for a long stretch of time in AAA to know how good he is. I think they're going to have to bring him up because the Mets have a lot of games against NL East teams in April. Except for the Nationals, they should win a lot of those games and really sort of build their schedule. So that's my point of that. The other thing that I don't like about Terry Collins that maybe you could answer to, because he always seems to do it, Terry's very good about telling everybody their role, and I know players like to have roles, yada, yada, yada. But when you have Michael Conforto starting in his first game the other day and he hits a home run, and then you basically tell the media after the game he's not playing the next game, this is something that's been systematic in Terry's really whole managing career with the Mets, that sometimes he will sit down the hot hand just because he has a rotation to follow and seems to, like, want to keep players happy. What is your take on that? Because I felt like if Conforto was in that game yesterday, that would have helped him a lot more than even Granderson.
Yeah, when you got a hot hand, especially someone swinging the hot bat, I mean, the team looks for the manager to keep that hot bat in the lineup, and then when the hot bat's not in there, you know, the team gets kind of depressed too because they see what the manager sees, and they see a hot
right.
hand. They want that player in the lineup.
And, you know, of course, online there's always someone that will argue, and someone said, well, he's not exactly hot, but he hit a homer in that game, and I'm thinking, Nico, most of this game – is about confidence, is it not? Like, when you get to that level, everybody can play, but you do need a little confidence, and when he finally gets the confidence of hitting a home run and winning a game, you would think that that would carry over, right?
Yeah, that normally, with the normal manager, it normally does get carried over, get rewarded. You know,
yeah.
It's funny with college. We can't put them together. Like, we try to figure them out, and he's always got his own little method there. You really don't know what he's going to do.
No, you don't. But I will say this. I never gave up on Jay Bruce last year. I knew that it was a problem that playing in New York was a little more than he was used to, bigger field, more pressure. But towards the end of the year, if you remember, he started to hit, and I was on board. Now I think he's figured it out. He's got three homers. I'm happy for Jay Bruce because this is a good fit for the Mets. They really desperately need a guy like this.
Yeah, he either hits a home run or strikes out. I mean, we got to get more, I guess, more productivity out of him. I mean, just a home run. He's got to get, you know, get those hits with two outs and runners in scoring position and the big hits is
yeah.
what we're looking for.
Yeah, big hits is definitely what you're looking for. So we'll move on from that. I just thought it was an interesting game and, you know, the Mets rotation now, even with Wheeler probably gonna take half a year to get ready, it's okay. Now, I do want to mention this on the show because this is an actual real situation. The Atlanta police are looking to try and find Otis Nixon. You may have played with Otis. I'm not sure. But...
Yeah, I played with him. Absolutely, with the Expos.
Okay, so he's currently missing. And so the Atlanta police are looking for him. So really, anybody, even if you're listening to the show, if you see somebody that looks like Otis Nixon, you know, call the police. This is not a joke. We're not making fun of this. This is a real situation.
Yeah, you know, it kind of seems weird. It seems like he was driving his car just like normal. He's going out to, I guess, an early golf game, and he never came back. You know, I don't think it's the first
yeah.
time he's ever kind of had a rendezvous for a few days. Hopefully that's what it is. He'll be back, and he just needed a few days away.
All right, so let's talk about Dusty Baker. He won his 1,770th game yesterday, 16th place on the all-time MLB wins list. Here's the thing about Dusty. Somebody put up a list the other day on Facebook, and they had Dusty in there, and they didn't have Davey Johnson. And I'm like, you know, here's the thing. Dusty is an excellent manager. But Dusty's never really been able to get over the hump and really start a dynasty. Davey Johnson not only did that, but he did it again with Cincy and made the playoffs when they hadn't made the playoffs in a million years and would have done it with the Nationals had they played Steven Strasburg and not sat him for the playoffs, which was totally ridiculous, and he was incensed about it, if you remember. So my question to you is, who would you rather have, Dusty Baker or Davey Johnson as a manager?
As a manager, that's a good call. Those are two great managers. And like I said,
yep.
Davey Johnson, obviously, with the World Series win there at the Mets, I'd have to go with the World Series win there. I want to win, that's for sure.
And that's what I think. And that's not taken away from Dusty. Now, Dusty could win it all with the Nationals. It will go a long way because, look, he is an excellent manager. He passed Jim Leland on the list. Doesn't make him better than Jim Leland either. Jim Leland was a better manager.
Yeah, and Jim Leland, did he win with the Pirates? Does he have a World Series?
Yeah.
Or he won with the Marlins?
With the Marlins. The Marlins, yeah. No, and not only did he do that, he was actually coaching in the World Baseball Classic this year. So he's still at it in a way. In a
yeah, no, it's good to see him get a win, come out of retirement, and get a big win that was for him.
Yeah. So he did do that too. And so – like I said, we sometimes get hung up on numbers, but you have to look at the context of it. And Jim Leland was really great, like super great manager. So that's why I say just be careful of the numbers game. Like baseball is a numbers game, but we can't always sort of get caught up in that. There's more to it than that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, who do you like today in that Phillies Mets game? That's going to be a good game with Buchholz on the mound against Harvey. Good to see Harvey throwing well again.
I will tell you this, and you know me, I'm honest. I thought coming into this season that Harvey could be a little shaky at the beginning, based on what happened to him last year. You know, he had that weird injury. You never know how that was going to affect him. The last game that Matt Harvey pitched was maybe the best game I've seen him pitch since he, you know, was a dominant pitcher. Like, it was just phenomenal. So I think, even though Buchholz is a good pitcher, I think Harvey will prevail because he went 7 last game. He'll definitely go 6 or 7 if the Mets get any kind of hitting, and I mean any kind of hitting. I got to go with Matt Harvey here. I think he'll come through. But that's a big game. I mean, the Mets need to get on a roll. They do, because the Nationals have a really good team also. They scored 14 runs yesterday. You know, so they, you know, here's the funny thing. We're all taught that baseball is a marathon and not a sprint. But these days, the talent gap isn't that great between first place and third place in your division. And so, like, now when you're playing these teams, you need to win as many games as you can. To me, it's like you can't say, well, if we have a bad April, there's still a lot of season left. You can lose a pennant in April, can you not?
Yes, you can. You got to get off to a good start. Like I said, your season could just fall apart by the end of April if you don't watch out.
And that's what you worry about for any team, because that's when math does come into it. Like, if you're – you know, you have a losing record in April, then you've got to have a winning record like the next 2.5 months to equal that out, and then what are you going to have left down the stretch? Like, that's why you want to try and play consistent baseball, because that's where it makes a big difference. Yesterday, Pineda pitches a big game for the Yankees that they desperately needed. Desperately.
Almost
only
the perfect
gave us two
game.
Hits. Yeah, he had that going. He did have that going.
That was good to see. They needed that, that's for sure. Especially with losing their big bat, Gary Sanchez. That was kind of...
Yeah, Sanchez is out now. That's going to hurt him a little bit. Look, I don't have great expectations for this Yankee team, but they needed a supreme effort like that. They got it. He had 11 strikeouts. They beat Tampa. We'll see. I mean, it's something they needed to do. They're still 3-4, but their pitching is what worries me. Like, they really have gone into the season with not the greatest pitching staff they've ever had, and that's understating it. So we'll see how that goes. You got to see the Tigers are 4-2. Do you think the Tigers are for real?
No, I don't. I think they played well at home. It was good, but they made a good showing there for their opening day and for their fans. But when it comes to the road, I think they just getting a little bit older now, and I just don't have enough.
Yeah.
I think on the road, I haven't seen, the big cat. I guess he hasn't showed up yet. So we'll see. I mean, the question is still out. They still got the curse on the Tigers there, so I don't expect them to do too much this year.
All right. Well, that's fair. Now let me ask you about the Cincinnati Reds, because they're 5-2. We wouldn't have expected it. They don't have the greatest-looking lineup. There are guys like Duvall that I kind of even questioned when I had a chance to pick him up in fantasy. Could he possibly do what he did last year? And, you know, he got 2 RBIs yesterday. Billy Hamilton, look, he's always a threat. If he ever could hit 300, he would be so dynamic. Right now he is hitting 346. But if he could hit 300 with his speed and his fielding ability – they would really have something. What do you think about the Reds? I mean, can they stay in it, or is this just they're off to a good start and, you know, you're not totally sold on them?
Well, I like their players. I like their players to play. I think they need a little bit more pitching. I mean, Bronson Arroyo, I don't think it's going to be the answer to them getting back to the World Series. But Duvall is for real. I mean, that guy is a player. He comes every day. He's almost taken the lead as the as their player. You know, Joey Votto is a great bat
yeah.
there, but Duvall is someone that he's even who's outproducing Votto. So when you come into
yeah.
a league and outproduce the best player on the team, I mean, you've become the best player on the team now, and he's kind of carrying that team, and it's day in and day out. He shows up and he puts runs on the board. I really like him as a ball player. And then I like it, like I said, I like their outfield they got. They got Hamilton and Sarah, and then they've got Shepler and Ryan. I got a chance to see that guy play last year. He's got a cut on him and some tremendous power too. If he ever gets a hold of a ball, he can definitely send one up in the upper decks there.
So you think the Reds are for real? Okay.
I think they're going to be competitive. It's all going to be about the pitching, but they're not going to roll over on you. That's for sure. Almost like the Phillies, they're going to come to play every day.
All right. Well, no, I think that's all fans could really hope for at times is that now the Kansas City Royals seem to be down and out. Like, they seem to be that team that, you know, they've been there, they've won it, and now they're on the downslide of winning. They're probably going to make some moves this year. We're already hearing rumors that Hosmer will get moved. He, I think he has one more year left on his deal, or this is the last year of his deal. Let me look up Eric Hosmer's contract. But I did see a rumor where he might go to the Mets, and I'm thinking, like, I get that the Mets could use an excellent fielding first baseman, but you know what? They need a catcher in the worst way. And do I think Hosmer is a huge upgrade over Lucas Duda? Sure. But Lucas Duda, if he has a decent year, will hit 25 home runs, and he doesn't hurt you in the field. He's not Hosmer, but he doesn't hurt you in the field. I just have to think they wouldn't have interest in Hosmer because they really need a catcher more than I think they need a first baseman. What's your thoughts on Hosmer going somewhere, and then if he went to the Mets, what would your thoughts be on that?
I think if he went to the Mets, it'd be a mistake on the Mets' part. They definitely could win. There's some other pieces that they need right away, like a catcher.
Yeah.
And like I said, some speed. You know, Hosmer doesn't
have
any speed. So if you're bringing another slow guy on the bases, it's just going to bog down the bases. And the Royals, like I said, if anybody deserves to retire a Royal, I mean, Hosmer is the guy. He's brought him this close. He got him a World Series there, got him a couple of All-Star MVPs. I mean, the guy's been playing consistently for the last, you know, I would say 6 years for the Royals. I think he deserves a contract that the Royals should keep him.
Actually, he's in the last year of his deal.
He's in the last year, and I think they should keep him. You know, knowing the Royals, they don't really like to pay their players too well.
Here's what he's making. He's making $12 million bucks. Yeah, he's making. I don't disagree with you, but he's making $12 million bucks. He had 104 RBIs last year. If you're going to be the cleanup hitter of a potential close to last place team, you can make a good argument they should trade him. Because if they don't feel like he's re-signing with them, you can't just let him walk.
No, you definitely don't want to let him walk. And I don't think he's going to walk. Like I said, I think he wants to be in Kansas City.
But he wants to get paid, and you don't think they'll pay him.
No, I don't think anyone is going to pay him because he's kind of over the edge there on the age. He's kind of on the downslide. Who's going to give him a bunch of money on the tail end of his career? Other than the Royals.
So let's talk about that. He's only 27. Like, what? How do you think this game has changed? If you're going to talk about a 27-year-old, like, I shouldn't give him too much money anymore because he could be on the downslide. Like, he's 27. He's probably going to play another 10 years.
He probably could with his defense. But the thing is his bat. I mean, where his bat has really gone south over the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years. Yeah, he's got 104 RBIs. But Hosmer came in with one of those super kind of swings where he would mm-hmm. be 150, 140 RBI guy every year for 10 years. I mean, and he just hasn't panned out.
So you're thinking, even though he had 104 RBIs, because he's only hitting 266 last year, you think that he's going to start to just have diminishing returns, but he'll have, you know, like okay numbers, like, you know, 20 homers, 75 RBI kind of numbers.
Yeah, I think he's more of an average player. He's a great defensive player, but he's just an average hitter right now. And if you don't have the runners on base, he's not going to get those RBIs that he got last year. I'm really concerned about their lineup. You know, they're going with Alex Gordon leading off. I mean, when they've got, you know, the shortstop, and then they got their second baseman hitting, you know, eighth and ninth. They got their speed at the bottom of the lineup. I think they get that speed at the beginning of the
Escobar
lineup.
Escobar is hitting eighth, and Mondesi's hitting ninth. Like, why wouldn't you lead off Mondesi? I don't get it.
I don't either. That's the thing. They got their speed at the wrong part of the lineup, and they, like I said, they don't even use it because they're not even getting on base now. So it's like a wash. They need to get Mondesi and Achilles back up at 1-2 and get some runners on base for Hosmer to drive in. There you go, because he's not going to drive in many runs if there's nobody on base.
So there's a lot of talk about three players, and we're going to talk about those three players now. Manny Machado, Mike Trout, and Bryce Harper. In a couple of years, will either one of those three still be on the same team? Will they all move? Or what do you think is going to happen with these guys? Because there's a lot of rumors out there because, you know, they're looking for that big, big money.
Right. And like I said, Harper, I guess, it's funny. He was trying to get it this past winter. And the Nationals passed on it. They want to see him put some more numbers up. He could go because I think the numbers that he's talking about are – that could bankrupt any organization. I think the Nationals have already been through that with him, and he already makes it more than almost any player. But for him to even want to make more, then he wants to be the highest paid player in the game. I'm not sure. He's got the talent there. But when you look at Manny Machado, I see him staying with the Orioles. I don't see the Orioles making a move without him. He's almost like a Cal Ripken type of junior player. He's a mainstay at third base. I think he's going to be an Oriole for the rest of his life, and I think he's deserved to get a big contract from them. And Mike Trout.
But will he get a big contract from the Orioles? I'm going to say probably not. You think he will?
Yeah, I think he will. I think he will because when you look at they were willing to let Trumbo go, but they really couldn't. I guess there was no takers for him. The Orioles seemed like they were trying to free up some money to sign him. You know, they let Nelson Cruz go. They had Nelson Cruz for a while. They let him go. So it had to be a reason that they've got, some of their big bats are, you know, they're basically on the trading block. And I think it's because they're trying to free up some money for Machado to keep him.
Well, here's the thing. Chris Davis makes $21 million. Like, that's crazy.
That is. And how long is he going to make $21 million for? Because I don't think that's going to last forever.
Right. Even J.J. Hardy's up to $14 million. Like, J.J. Hardy is a nice player. I don't know why I'm paying him $14 million. I don't.
No, because he plays good defense. He doesn't make mistakes. And like I said, he's just that final piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
He hits home runs every once in a while. Yeah, he's that final piece of the puzzle that they needed to try to. The Orioles are right there. I mean, believe me, they are just a few games away from the World Series, that's for sure. I mean, they got everything. They've got hitting, they've got pitching, they've got power.
Machado's making 11-5, but he's only on a 1-year deal. And. He is arbitration eligible for next year.
For next year? Oh, okay. Well, you think they're going to buy out his arbitration? I would think after this year they'd probably make him an offer he can't refuse.
You would hope. Now, what do you think about Mike Trout?
Mike Trout, I think the Angels have to keep him. I mean, if the Angels lose Mike Trout, you might as well cancel Christmas. I mean, he's the best thing that ever happened to the Angels. It's like... if you can't keep Mike Trout.
Do you think
Trout,
he's the best player in baseball? Because I think he's the best player in baseball.
Yeah, when you look at his consistency, and then he's done it. We've seen it year in, year out, almost five straight years. I mean, he's the
his
exact same player.
His fielding is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, he's always running into the stands, making catches, and he's always hitting the balls in the gaps and over the walls and hitting triples and doubles and driving in runs and scoring runs. And this year's no different. He's right up there in the leaderboards with runs and RBIs, and he's just doing it again. So when you look at him, he's definitely no Pujols. When you look at some of the mistakes that Angels have made with Hamilton and Pujols, I mean,
yeah.
Trout is their mainstay. Trout is their boy, and so you've got to reward him with the big money. I think he would be an Angel for the rest of his life.
All right, here's what I think is going to happen. I think Harper will stay. I think that Scott Boras, because they have a lot of players on those teams, will come out with a deal that will also not only keep Harper there, but a lot of other players. So I think they'll work it out with the Nationals. Machado, I think they will attempt to buy out his arbitration, and I say that's 50-50 that he stays long term. Trout, I think, is gone. I don't think the Angels can keep him. Now, it's 2020 that he's a free agent, but here's the thing. This is the rub. Starting in 2018, he's making $34 million a year. They're going to trade him.
They're going to trade him. Well, they've got – I mean, I think by that time, I think Pujols' money was dropped. I mean, so they'll be – that'll free up some money for him. And I just can't even imagine.
All right, so here's the thing. Can you pay Mike Trout $34 million for the next 3 years if you're a last-place team? Why would you do that?
They wouldn't, and they're not going to be a last-place team. When you look at how they're playing
okay.
this year, they actually could have a chance to win that West. I mean, they're putting it all together. It's a few pitchers
away.
Well,
this year he's only making 20. Like, this year
yeah.
they could deal with it. He's only making 20.
Yeah. So, you know, you think they're getting better. Like I said, they're getting better. They're getting better. I like Marte at first base.
Mm-hmm.
I like his bat in the lineup. He really helps out Trout, so Trout's not the only one delivering every single day. I like their shortstop. It's proven to have one of the better shortstops in the league defensively. Simmons is just a heck of a ball player. And, you know,
I think Trout will go to either the Phillies or the Yankees by 2018.
A big market?
Yeah.
That would be interesting to see where he goes. But like I said, the Angels are just canceling their future right there. I mean, if they can't win with Mike Trout, can you imagine them without Mike Trout and where they're going to
no,
be at?
No, I know. But the thing is, like, that's a lot of money that you could free up to sort of go through a mini rebuild with. And I'll go back to the Ralph Kiner model where – he got called into the office. He was the biggest home run hitter in the league. I think he was with the Pirates at the time. And they said, look, we'll be in last place with you. We'll be in last place without you. Now, maybe they won't be in last place, but if they're in third place with him and third place without him, paying $34 million a year for the next 3 years, that's tough.
And that's baseball. I mean, we've seen it done time and time again with players. You know, hardly any player gets to stay with their original franchise. But that's a dream nowadays. I mean, most players want to just stay right where they're at right now. That free agency.
It's true.
It's true. They're passing up the big
money
just to stay where they're at.
You're right. So we got a minute left. I just want to tell people, hey, they can go to Amazon.com. They can check out our book, Strike Three. They can check out other books of mine. Just look up Russ Cohen, Amazon.com. If you have anything to plug, go ahead and plug it.
Today's show brought to you by Levi Restaurants. Feel good, eat good. Enjoy the ball game.
And that's it. We'll keep enjoying the ball games. We'll keep coming back, and we'll keep talking about this great game. And so far, season's off to a good start. We'll catch everybody next time.
My man.